So Father, first of all, we begin by again just thanking you, who you are. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the grace in this day. Thank you, Father, for the incredible reality of getting to know you even more this day as you make yourself known in our situations. And so thank you, Father, for relationship. Thank you, Father, through your Son, Jesus, that through him we've been reconciled to you. And we just want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you, too, for your goodness. We want to thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, everything about you, Father, that we can participate in and know you about and live in the reality of your fullness. And so thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us that really is the one that brings us all about into our lives and makes the reality of you so real. So we want to thank you for your goodness. And as you want to share with us this morning, Father, we thank you that you are graciously open up our hearts and our minds, and you're going to share with us your heart for us, your love for us, and just inspire us and minister to us as we minister to you with our hearts. We minister to you with our love as we just minister to you just in every part of who we are. So we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto you. So this we thank you that we can do this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ah. Well, guys, people always are asking that same question: what is God saying for 2021? And everybody's having the same the promises. This is what they're going to be doing, etc., etc. So we're not starting there. When I was New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, just walking out in the garden with the Lord and just discussing things and just talking to him and giving him thanks. And one of the things he just shared was, and some of you in the New Year's thing I sent it, he shared then that in Matthew 28 verse 20, and it was just a promise and a reminder that he is with us always to the very end of the age. And he was just sharing that, you know, he hasn't changed. You know, everybody's concerned about 2021. They're concerned about 2022. They're concerned about the next years, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality of us as children of God is that our Lord Jesus said that he is with us always to the very end of the age. So much so that he's given us the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of this promise, as the deposit guaranteeing the reality of all of this. And so we're not like unbelievers. We are believers. We are disciples of Jesus, and we are the children of God. And so we can step into 2021 with tremendous confidence, tremendous hope, tremendous assurance, because our God is with us. Even greater, the reality is that we are in a union with him. He in us, we in him, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's very powerful for us to meditate and to build upon as we go forwards. Jesus, again, in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer is again just emphasizing this, and he speaks to the body of Christ. And God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, and I like that word, we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" And so this is the confidence that you and I have as we face every single day, and to continue with that. Remember, when Jesus spoke this was in AD 33, and it's 2021, and history is backing this truth. And so we've got to understand that God said in the past he had spoken through his prophets in various ways, but in his last days he has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is crucial for you and I to see what our Lord Jesus has spoken, and for us to have the confidence that God is watching over his word and to see it being fulfilled. And we can go into the today's knowing that it's a part of experiencing the relationship side of our, of being a child of God. And so relational is a big key in experiencing God and walking with God in all the situations. And many of the situations, Jesus already has spoken in Matthew 24 about the end times, etc. We see he's already spoken. So we're seeing this taking place where we have the confidence that he has spoken, he's given us his promise, he's with us always, and we can move forwards in what he has said. And so what are the things that I believe God is really emphasizing is the reality of what he has already spoken, and for us to be established in that and to move forward. So we're not looking for something new. We're not looking for a new word for 2021. We're not looking for another word for 2022. We're not looking for that. We are looking at, Lord, you, Father, you have already spoken through your son Jesus. What has he already spoken to us by the Holy Spirit that you're wanting us to grow deeper into, where you're wanting us to be able to see the fruit of that? Otherwise, everybody is looking for a new word and there's never fruit from what he has already shared. And so that's why we really are maturing in this sort of what we will call the prophetic. We're starting to mature in not running after every single year to the prophets to what is God saying, what is God saying, but we're rather just sitting back to ask ourselves, what has God already said? Because he builds upon what he said. Remember, Jesus said in the parasower that the secrets of the kingdom he gives to us, and those who receive, more will be given. But those who do not receive, that which they have received will be removed from them, taken away. And so the Father has spoken, and now we are receiving. And as we receive and walk in what he has already spoken, he will then share more so that he can build on what he has already spoken. Jesus said, I will build my church based on the revelation of who I am. And so that's what he does. And God has spoken through his son. So the word is a revelation of Jesus. And we got to go back not last November, the November before, when God shared with us in Isaiah chapter 61, because he's already spoken through his son Jesus. And Isaiah 61 is the revelation of Jesus and also the fruit, the consequences of the ministry of Jesus in his death, in his resurrection, and his position now, seated with the Father. And so when he shared with us previous year in November, and we remember we released this Isaiah 61, God hasn't changed. We're just going to go deeper into this. We're just going to experience a fuller, manifestation of Isaiah 61. And so I'm going to just read some of the scriptures over here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Remember, Jesus quotes this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. So here we see that, as in all prophecy in the Old Testament, there is what we call bifocal prophecy. There's a short-term reality and there's the long-term. And so we see a lot of this is referring also to the release of the Jews from captivity, but it's a messianic prophecy. It's referring to Jesus Christ. So when Jesus stands in the temple and he opens a scroll and he reads this, he is saying, I'm the one that this has already spoken about. I'm the long-term, I'm the fulfillment of this. And so now, remember, we are in union with Christ Jesus. And so we participate in all of this. So the fruit of this incredible anointing of Jesus. We are the fruit of this. And so we will look at the fruit and the fruit of Jesus's death and resurrection, the fruit of Jesus being anointed by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of him proclaiming the good news, the fruit of him binding the brokenhearted, setting the captives free, letting the blind see, proclaiming the Lord's favor, etc., comfort all who mourn. The fruit of that, we are the fruit. And so we are experiencing that, and that continues what our Lord Jesus has done. And that's why all the time we always go back to that fact, what has our Lord Jesus already done in his death and his resurrection? Because we live in the fruit of his death and resurrection. And so that's why we're not looking for a new word. We're looking at what he's already spoken, and for us to be established in that, and for us to bear more fruit of what he has already spoken. And so that the fruit, in a sense, is the newness, because there's more of that fruit. It's more riper, and more people can eat from the fruit that is coming from his word that's in us, his life that is in us. And so he's been speaking to us about this. And so we see over here, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Now we go back to what has he already shared, and we go back to a few weeks back where God spoke to all of us about the Holy Spirit and the seven functions, the seven expressions of God, the Holy Spirit. And that first one in Isaiah chapter 11 there, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. It's exactly the same. And so as we experience the reality of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit is within us. And so that is why he spoke to us about the seven functions of the Holy Spirit, because the life of Jesus is the evidence of the seven expressions of the Holy Spirit. We see that there. Now we have received and we partake in his divine nature. We are one with Jesus. And so through our lives, through the body of Christ, we start to also allow the Holy Spirit to express his ministry in our lives and through our lives, just as Jesus showed us the way. Remember when Jesus is speaking, and that's why we've got to go back. So when the Lord speaks about this, about himself, and he says it, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, we now have got to start to look at Jesus. What do you mean by good news to the poor? We've got to start asking these questions now, because it's time for us, because this must be established. So we don't just read what he has spoken to us last 2 years back, November, was it 2019 in November. But we look at now, what does it actually mean? And we've got to look at the life of Jesus. As Jesus walked on this physical planet, what was the good news? And who were the poor? See, we've got to start looking, because you have many rich that were poor in the life of Jesus. You got many poor that were rich. And that so we have to start looking at, what does Jesus mean by proclaiming good news to the poor? And so that's your personal journey with God now. It's your mind where we start to spend the time in the Word of God. Lord, you've given us Isaiah 61. Now we need to be established in it. What is it mean that you were anointed to proclaim good news to the poor? And that's an incredible journey. And all the time, Jesus is the example. You've got to look at Jesus, because many people will take the scripture and use it for prosperity in a way that maybe is not meant to be used. And so, and they can use it to manipulate people to tithe and to, you know, to donate to this and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to get back to the heartbeat of Jesus. Why? What is the anointing upon us to proclaim good news to the poor? It's the Spirit of the Lord. So what is the Spirit of the Lord? What manifestation of that is applicable for preaching good news? What is the good news? And so we need to spend time, Lord, show us what is this good news, and the context is to the poor. What is, Eddie, you love the parable, or you love the Beatitudes, and you'll see this, Isaiah 61. If you go to the Beatitudes, you will see how it is so connected to the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so forth. And you will see the tremendous interlocking of this truth with the Beatitudes as well. So when he says over there, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Again, we've got to ask the Lord, what is the ministry as Jesus walked on the earth? How did he bind the brokenhearted? How did he proclaim freedom for the captives? How did he release from darkness the prisoners? In other words, another translation there in the Hebrew is, how did he allow the blind to see again? Because the blind is the darkness, and Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. How did Jesus set them free from being blinded? And that, so all these things now, we've got to stop and ask, Lord, what do you actually mean? And you will find there in your own life that there's different aspects to your purpose, your calling, that the Holy Spirit will start to unlock for you and for myself, that we will begin to be able to mature in this truth that God has already spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're not looking for a new word, because if we're looking for a new word, this will not be established. We would run off to something else. And that, and we stay, and the body of Christ stays very superficial, full of knowledge, full of revelation, but not established, not the fruit of what he has already spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. And that, so we come back and we ask again to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What does that mean? And the day of vengeance of our God. What does that actually mean? And Lord, how did you do that? Show us, because now we're your body, and you're continuing. It's no longer I who live, but you that live in us. And you're continuing to release us. You continue to make the fruit of your death and resurrection a reality in the lives of people today, to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and they will be called oaks of righteousness. Listen to this, a planting of the Lord. And this is why God, two years back already, remember, God started to speak to us about our union, the new creation in Christ Jesus, our union with him, the reality of Adam, and then the reality of Christ Jesus, how unrighteousness came through Adam's disobedience, but through Christ, righteousness comes now. And so now, as a new creation, we have been planted by the Lord as oaks of righteousness, this incredible, not the self-work righteousness, but now it's the reality of Christ's righteousness, so that we can display his splendor. That's why it's no longer a religious righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Jesus, so that the real Jesus is made known through our lives, to display his splendor. And he's planted us. We are rooted in him. And that's why the emphasis of being in Christ has played such a big role over the past 2 years. Guys, this now must go deep with us. We need to walk in this now. We cannot be superficial, because the storms come, we're going to collapse. But when we are established in the truth, the storms come, we display his splendor. You see, we are light. We are the salt. We display his splendor. We're not displaying our old nature. We're displaying who we are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So God is helping us to be really established in this truth as we go forwards. That, and then we go on, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, and they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And you will find there that, again, what does that mean? And you will see there how Jesus has done that, and you'll see how the apostles Christ being the chief cornerstone, and how the apostles and the prophets, how they are the foundational, the foundation of the church built on Christ, the chief cornerstone. And you will see how that connects to that truth as well. And so we can go on and on with this there, but all I want to emphasize here this morning is that our Lord has spoken. Our Father has shared with us why His Son came onto this earth. Our Father has shared with us through His Son, through the scripture this morning, His heart, His love, His goodness, His mercy to humanity. And so His Father, as our Heavenly Father, has shared with us there, our involvement in the fruit of His Son's ministry, and now how that comes through us as we now have been given the incredible ministry of reconciliation, and we have been given the message of reconciliation, and how we now are involved in that ministry and the message of reconciliation, and being involved with the Great Commission and sharing the gospel and going forth and really being the light over there. And so we can carry on and on in all of this. Now, one of the big things about this, and I think most of you have mentioned this over the past couple of weeks, is that the Holy Spirit is really emphasizing the goodness of God. So when we look at Isaiah 61, we begin to see the, almost like the wrapping paper in a sense of all of that, is the goodness of God. And as the goodness of God is opened up, we experience all of what Isaiah 61 is proclaiming and is speaking about over there. And so when we speak about the goodness of God, it is all of God's perfect qualities. All of God's perfect qualities. And it's perfect. So his love is perfect, his holiness, his mercy, his righteousness, his justice. Everything about God is perfect. That's the context of what good is. It's perfect. So all of God's perfect qualities are made freely available to all for the benefit of the whole world. That's his goodness. So all of the incredible, who God is made available to all of humanity, despite humanity's sinful condition. That is why we see in the ministry of Jesus is revealing this incredible goodness of God, despite our fallen sinfulness. His love, while we were still sinners, God sent His Son Jesus Christ. And so we see there that this incredible goodness of God is going to be a real emphasis this time that we're in. And that we can grow in this. Now, why is this so important? Because Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, and in Romans chapter 1 and verse, and Romans chapter 2, he's speaking about the incredible sinfulness of humanity and how depraved man is and how God handed them over. And so there's all this taking place. And then he goes on and he speaks over there concerning this, or verse 4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his goodness? The word goodness and kindness is the same word over there. There's no English word that can describe the kindness and the goodness of God operating at once, all together. And so some translations say goodness, some kindness. But it's the combination of that, because it's all of God's qualities. His goodness is all of God's qualities. And contempt for the riches of his goodness, his patience, not realizing that God's goodness is intended to lead you to repentance. And this is why Isaiah 61 is crucial for us now. And this is why the understanding and the growth in his goodness is crucial, because it's the goodness of God that's going to change the mind. That's what repentance is. It's going to change the mind of many people so that they can experience the real Jesus. They can experience the real God. And so in this goodness of God, remember, there's a big difference. Goodness, a lot of people confuse goodness with the word nice. Nice can be just to compromise to avoid conflict. This is not what we're talking about. Goodness, this is God's perfect qualities operating. So when God disciplines, that is because God is good, and he's jealous, and he's coming, and he's dealing with everything that is coming against you and I experiencing living loved by God. And so that's what his discipline's all about, is anything that's preventing us from experiencing and living in the reality of God's love, God deals with that stuff. Okay, that's the junk that he deals with in our lives, because he's a good God. And so we begin our day, we start to take in and have a new perspective of life as we begin to, but God, you are good. Your dealing with me is good. Your dealing with South Africa is good. Your dealing with this world is good. And there's a confidence that God has spoken through his son Jesus. There's a confidence that God is a good God. And that will begin to open up this Isaiah chapter 61 like never before. Because now we will begin to really look at not only our own lives, but we will look at situations based on God's goodness. And that gives us an understanding of how to minister. That gives us a flow, if you want to call it, the anointing, the release to flow in the ministry of reconciliation, in the message of reconciliation, on this flow of God's goodness. And people can begin to experience the goodness of God so that their minds can be changed of who God is, because most people have got a mind of God, an understanding of God that is so contrary to who God is. Remember, Satan is a deceiver, and he has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. And so you and I now, as we live in the reality of the goodness of God, people can begin to really taste and see that God is good. Now, in my own, just a recent encounter with God, early in December, I think it was early December or late November, last year, it sounds strange to say last year, I'm busy praying and God just started to speak to me, and he said to me this. He said that, and he gave a date. He said, on the 22nd of December, you will experience the goodness of God. And it was in the context of just part of it was family, of the community, etc. And so I set the reminder in the calendar. So on the 22nd, I'm reminded of the goodness of God. And so we're busy praying. It was a Tuesday morning, and so we were on a Zoom prayer meeting, with some of the folk. And as we were busy praying, I started to enter into a reality of this goodness of God. And I saw myself, because when I was looking forward to what God was going to share about the goodness, I was looking at it from a self perspective. So there was self involved. What is God going to give me? You know, that kind of thing. It was a self centered expectation of the goodness of God for my life And so I see myself in this encounter. I see myself, I was in prayer, and you know, when the sun is up, but then there comes a cloud and there's like the shadow, and that is what it was like. I was in a shadow, it was light, but it was that shadow lightness, that kind of light. And I realized, and as the Holy Spirit started to share, I began to realize that this shadowness is simply because I'm looking at God's goodness from a selfish perspective. I'm looking at it of what I'm going to get, and the moment I switched, the moment I went into the truth, Lord, my old man has been crucified, you know, and it's no longer I, but it's you in me. And the moment it was like a switch, a light switch, day and night. And the moment I just accepted and got into agreement with the truth, all of a sudden I was in the glory of God. And the atmosphere changed. And certain things that the Holy Spirit said, he said there that when you and I walk in the reality of this love, there's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in us. Automatically, you are displaying the glory of God that's in us, because Christ is the glory of God. That was automatically being released in the atmosphere. So wherever you go, the glory of God is being released, because self is not, you see, when Paul writes there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about when the old covenant, the law of Moses is read, there's a veil. You see, because that is a man-made righteousness. And it's like the reality of when we're trying to, you know, where self is still there, there's that veil. And that, but we've got a new heart. And the moment we enter into the new covenant reality, that veil is not there. And so we dwell in the glory of God. And that glory manifests through our lives. But in this encounter, I suddenly saw those that were praying, we were praying together. I saw that the moment I went and I just changed my understanding and got out of the self-centeredness and of what goodness is going to come my way into the reality of God's goodness for all and his love for all, etc. I saw that those that were involved in the prayer meeting, they too then began to experience the glow of God's glory all over their faces. And they too began to experience the atmosphere of the glory of God. And so it changes everything. There's a shift that takes place. And then he showed me, and for the first time, I began to understand why Moses asked God about, show me your glory. Why Moses asked God about, you've told me to lead these people, but who's going to go with me? Unless you go with me, I'm not going to go. I understood that, because for the first time, remember when God revealed himself to Moses about the glory, God said, my goodness will pass by you. And for the first time in this experience, I experienced that this goodness of God and this glory of God is more real than gold or silver. I knew at that moment that what God has shown me about his goodness and about the reality of his glory, because his goodness is part of who he is, so it's part of his glory, that as long as I can participate and stay free of the self, this goodness of God is all that I need. It is more real, it's more of a guarantee of provision than having 20 billion rand in the bank. It's more of a guarantee of anything than having any worldly assurances of so-called guarantees. And for the first time in my life, it was like I experienced how this goodness of God is far superior than anything else, far superior to your pension, far superior to your bank balance, far superior to anything. It is more real. It is more solid. It is God's incredible goodness. And that's why Jesus can make these statements when he says over there about don't worry about tomorrow. That's why he could make such statements, because he lived in the reality of the goodness of God. He walked in the goodness of God. He ministered from that place of God's goodness. Everything that he did was in the union, the participation in the goodness of God. And you and I, now as we've been born again by the Holy Spirit, we too participate in his divine nature. So we participate in the goodness of God. And that's why we go back to Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. Guys, that truth that the Holy Spirit has given to us so many months back over there, that there is key. It is a foundational truth. It is a truth where it was destroyed. And now, as we see in Isaiah 61 there, it's been rebuilt. And it has been reestablished. Those foundations have come back into our lives, so that once again, we can really be the incredible people that our Lord Jesus has redeemed us to be. And so, guys, that's basically for me is the heart of God for us this morning as we go into 2021 there, to know that our Lord has spoken, to know that he's a good God, to know that his goodness is more real than all the money and gold that you could ever have because that can disappear just like that. Your shares, your stock, your investments can go just like that. But God's goodness is eternal. You've got it. You've guaranteed. And by faith, we now begin to live in that reality. So that is why he spoke to us what is real faith, what is counterfeit faith, what is religious faith, what is demonic faith, what is human faith. Guys, he has spoken. He's not giving us anything new. He has spoken to us through his son Jesus. And now it's really being rooted and established in all of us. So by faith, we look at our situation, but we give thanks. We give thanks because God is good. We appropriate the truth that God, you are good, and your involvement in my life is only good. And then there's the breakthrough. You see the grace flowing. You experience how his goodness is more real to you than that fear. It's more real to you than the mind and the battle of the mind. It's more real to you than the anxiety in the heart. It's more real to you than anything else. And he's saying, taste and see that God is good. His goodness is going to lead many people to repentance. His goodness is going to lead many people to change their minds of who God really is. And so as we just move into this air, that's the grace, the Holy Spirit's anointings on us for this. And we're looking forward to an incredible year. No matter what's taking place, we live in the reality that God is good, and we know that the goodness of God is for all humanity. And so we can be involved in the ministry and the message of reconciliation flowing from the stream of the anointing of God's goodness to touch people's lives, getting his understanding of what is good, so that in all that we do, it's not our definition of goodness, it is God's definition of goodness. It's the perfect qualities of God, the perfect qualities of God, the perfect attributes of God. It's the perfection of God. That's his goodness for all mankind. And you and I are going to grow into that and experience that. So be blessed as you experience this in your life, and let the Spirit of God just really take you deeper and deeper into all of this. So as we have communion this morning again, I give thanks to God's goodness. Receive his goodness by faith, because it's in us. God is good. The Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit's in us. We partake in his divine nature. The nature of God is good. We partake in that. That's the union in our Lord Jesus Christ that we have. Remember this in when Jesus says about the communion, about his, he said, this is the new covenant concerning his blood and his flesh. So what is the new covenant? Jesus himself is the covenant. We see that in Isaiah chapter 42, when God is speaking about, again, this is a messianic scripture, and this is what God says concerning Jesus. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those that sit in darkness. This is the reality of Jesus. He is the covenant. And when we go back and we go right from Adam, right through to Christ, right through to our present day, we see over there that the Israelites, the men and women that walked in faith, all walked in the reality of a covenant that God had made. And everything was centered on a covenant that God had made with Israel, that God had made with Adam and Eve, that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what God had made with Noah, what God had made with Moses. We can go on and on and on and on. And they all, the whole of the history of Israel, we see as based on the fact that God had made covenant. Jesus comes. He is the covenant. God makes a new covenant through his son Jesus. And now you and I are in him. And so we begin to understand when Paul writes over there, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We begin to understand the reality that God has spoken through his son Jesus. We are in him. And now we partake in the truth of the covenant that God has made with mankind through his son Jesus and in his son Jesus. And so that's the communion. We recognize that he is the covenant. We recognize that through him covenant has been made. We recognize that we have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. We recognize that the old fallen humanity is no longer our reality. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We recognize this by faith. And so as we begin this year, we celebrate this incredible truth that we have in Jesus. So our Father, we want to thank you this morning. Lord, this is so big that you're sharing, and we need now, Holy Spirit, you to guide us and to lead us into this truth, open it up, and each and every one of us in the particular, in unique way that you are wanting to express this truth in our lives, through our lives, we say yes to that, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for your incredible expressions within us. Your might, your power, your wisdom, your understanding, your strength, the fear of the Lord, the incredible reality of the Lordship of Christ Jesus. All of these expressions of yours we receive and we embrace, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you for this incredible year. We want to thank you for that you've placed us in the town that we're in. You placed us in the workplace we're in. You placed us in the school. You placed us wherever we are. Lord, not just because it's Lakeland, but because, Father, you're a good God. And a community is waiting to taste and see that God is good. So we want to thank you that we can pray for our nation. And we want to thank you that your goodness is expressed not only through the body of Christ, but in many, many ways, through the rain that falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, for the way you deal with so many things. We want to thank you, Father, for your goodness. And so for South Africa, we receive, Father, the truth that you are a good God, And our confidence is in your goodness as you touch this nation, as you work and you watch over your word concerning South Africa, concerning the body of Christ Jesus that he is building. You're watching over that word as well. And we want to thank you as we see how your church, Lord Jesus, is so built, so established, how it manifests, displays your glory for a nation to be able to come to repentance. Because for the first time, many will see the real Jesus that's alive in us. So we thank you for this breakthrough. We thank you for the expansion of this, the might behind this. And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus. We celebrate your death and resurrection by eating together this morning for your glory and for your honor. So let's eat together as we just partake in the communion.